This is My Wade Podcast, and we're super excited to have you joining us today. Here on the podcast, we discuss a wave. The surfer loves to surf waves, and they all have a story to tell after every session, but some waves stand out more than others. And we really want to discuss that one wave that is most memorable to them. But this is their wave, their story, their life, and super excited here to have Gray Allen with us here in just a moment. I would like to give a shout out first, though, to Copilot Studio. If you want to check them out on Instagram at Copilot Studios, give them a follow. Super excited to see what is going on with them. And so thankful for the opportunity to podcast in their studio. Also, today's sponsor is Sully's Archery Tag. Sully's Archery Tag is a mobile event. They bring the fun to you. It's played like dodgeball, but with arrows. And it's a lot of fun. You can check them out at sullysarcherytag.com. And today, Gray Allen. Haven't seen Gray. There he is in at least a month. When did you move up to Boone, right? Boone?
Black Mountain.
Black Mountain.
Close.
Okay.
January 4th. So the day after the good surf.
Okay. Yeah.
In January.
Yep, that's right. We had some good surf and we were going to get you in here that Tuesday. But you got a sore throat and with all the COVID stuff, we kind of laid low and super excited to have you joining us this way, though, and looking forward to catching up and talking through your most memorable wave. And I can't wait to see how that all comes together. Now, where were you in your story today?
So my wave?
Yeah.
So in my story, we are... See, there's this thing within surfing. You're not really supposed to say where you are. I've never understood that part of surfing culture, but I will honor the tradition.
Yep.
I was near Hampton, New Hampshire.
Hampton, New Hampshire. Okay.
Yep. So north of Hampton, close to a place that's very well known called Rye Rocks.
Okay.
There is a Point Break out there. Mm-hmm. That is pretty well known lefts. So it's got really big, powerful lefts. And then there's a secondary wave off the point that's a right. And the right barrel is crazy good, but it's got a really bad current. So it's pretty sketchy riding.
All right. So hold on.
That's where I was.
So hold on. You and I met in Wilmington, Wrightsville Beach.
That's right.
Okay. So Wrightsville Beach is where you and I met. We surfed together out of Banks once. We camped out over at an island. I guess we can't name that island, although it's a pretty well-known island right now.
It's very well-known, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But now you're out in Black Mountain. So New Hampshire, were you living in New Hampshire?
I used to live in Gloucester, Massachusetts.
Okay.
Which is a little island that's north of Boston. Mm-hmm. It's about almost an hour north of Boston, and it's probably 45 minutes south of Hampton, New Hampshire.
Huh.
And that's actually where I got into surfing, really.
Really?
Gloucester.
How old were you when you started surfing?
I started surfing a couple of times when I was 14.
Okay.
I surfed like in Hawaii when we were there visiting, and just a couple of handful of times. But I actually learned to surf behind a boat on a lake in Texas, which is where I grew up.
Really?
And so I learned to wake surf first before I had ever actually surfed in the ocean.
Okay.
And then when we moved to Boston, I went to school in Boston and was studying outdoor education. And so I got a job as a paddleboard instructor with this local company called Cape Ann Sup. Shout out to them because they're awesome.
Okay.
And I just followed Dominic around and I learned kind of the ins and outs of the business and, worked with him for several years. And through stand up paddleboarding, I got into a little bit of stand up surfing. And then I got somebody's longboard and was like, all right, forget stand up paddleboarding. This is where it's at. And I basically was surfing since then. So I was probably 19 into 20 is when I really started surfing.
Gotcha. So colder water up there,
right? That is an understatement. Yes. Freezing cold. Yeah.
Yeah. So what time of year was this wave that you're getting ready to tell us about?
This was a February wave. Ooh. So early, I think it was the first weekend in February, and we had pounding surf, frigid water. I think the water the week before was like 38 degrees, 39. Water, it might have been here. 40 on this day.
Water here in Wilmington is hovering right at 50 right now. We had a warm day today, so it might have bumped. So, yeah, we're at 50. I was gloveless this past two sessions, but
that's awesome.
38. That's
38 is like you want 7 mil gloves. Yeah. I mean, it's cold. You know, it's the kind of cold where like you get a brain freeze every time you duck dive under a wave. Like your whole, even though just this much of your face is showing, you know what I mean? Like your nose feels like it sucks inside your face.
Lovely.
See, and it's just, it's brutal.
I grew up surfing Ocean City, Maryland and Delaware beaches. So I have a respect for cold. I mean, I think the coldest I ever surfed was right after Easter in high school. I think it was a senior and there was a swell in the water. We went down and we stayed in my car that night. It was freezing. I put on a spring suit and then a full suit over top. I think I got 2 mil hood, and the water was just brutally cold. I think it was hovering right around 40, 42 or something.
It's cold. The first winter I surfed, I got a hand-me-down O'Neill back zip 3-2. No boots, no gloves, and I surfed well into October, maybe even early November in that. And by November, the water is below 40, or below 50, sorry. So like in the 40s by the end of October, early November, it's like 48 degree water, something like that. And oh my goodness, I thought I was going to die. And the funny thing was, the first winter I surfed, I didn't realize that people had different thickness of wetsuits. And so I didn't realize that people were warm. Like, I just thought everybody was just like freezing their balls off out there, like about to die. They were so cold. and so I just had to suck it up. And so I was just like really quiet about it. The fact that I was like literally blue at the lips and couldn't feel my fingers toes or anything. And I thought that's what surfing was.
Just this past, 2 weeks ago, I was surfing, a week and a half ago. And this young man paddled out with me. He had a hole this big in his elbow. His leg was torn. It was a 3-2. He forgot his hood and he paddled out. And I was like, hey man, how you doing? And he was sitting there and he was going, I'm okay. I was like, what's wrong? He goes, cold water between the legs. I feel like I just got kicked. Yep. I'll be all right.
I remember the worst one. I was like, it was good waves. And so I forced myself to stay out, even though I didn't want to. And I remember being really confused because I couldn't tell when I was standing up because my feet were so numb that like I would stand up on the board, but I had to look at where my feet were because I could no longer feel if they were in the right position or not. I just was like, I think I'm standing on my board. I'm not sure if I'm actually standing up or if I'm just imagining that I'm standing up. But yeah, whole different ball game. So yeah, that was like first year was a 3-2. Second year I got a 4-3 with a hood. Well, not a hood. I got a hooded shirt that I would wear underneath. Yeah. That got me through pretty well. And then after that I got a 5-4, a hooded 5-4. And that was like game. I was like, all right, this is what people have been wearing, and this is why I'm the only one that was freezing.
So Gray, thank you for sharing that. Part of what we want to do with this podcast is teach people. I want it to be a learning thing. So people are going to watch this, you're going to listen to this, and they're going to go, okay, I get it. And so you're saving some people some serious pain if they listen to this and go, good. Oh, there's different thicknesses of wetsuits. So appreciate
yes.
that.
And not to mention that there are different qualities of wetsuits.
True.
I have worn a 4.3 that was colder than my 3.2 because the my 3.2 is an XL dry lock, and so it's a really nice wetsuit.
Yeah.
So if you're going to surf cold water, it's worth the money. You will not regret being warm in the water.
Definitely. So February, this break that cannot be named in New Hampshire.
In New Hampshire.
You paddled out. What was the conditions? Describe what was going on.
Freezing cold day. I mean, ice cold. I think it was like 14 degrees when I got up in the morning. I got up at 4 o'clock in the morning. My best friend, one of my really good friends at the time, his name was Ben. And we would go, he loved surfing up in New Hampshire. He knew all the spots, all the ins and outs and what was working when and tides and all that. And he was older than me, but we went to the same church and got along really well. And obviously we surfed together a lot. And so we would drive up to New Hampshire for a dawn patrol. Mm-hmm. And it was like an hour drive from my house, 45 from his house. So I got up at 4 o'clock in the morning, trying to get warm, put on a pot of water. I have a big hydro flask. And so I would boil a gallon of water and then pour it in a hydro flask and bring that with me.
Right.
And then whenever I got there, I'd pour it in my boots and pour it in my gloves and then usually pour the rest down my suit before I jumped in. Just to try to break. And sometimes I'd usually leave some too, so I could hop out and rewarm my gloves and rewarm my boots and then go back in. So we had been watching the swell that was coming in, and it was a big nor'easter that was just pummeling us the day before with swell. The buoys the night before were reading 14 feet at like 10 seconds.
Wow.
And it was supposed to increase that day into the next. Morning of, I think it was like 15 or 16 feet. I looked in retrospect, like kind of like backdated and looked at the hours when I was actually out there surfing.
Yeah.
And I think the biggest one clocked in was like 17 something. But yeah, in the like 15, 16 foot swell range at 11 seconds, with a slight, it was like kind of coming from the north, but mostly east swell. Mm-hmm. Heavy day.
So Gray, you're setting up a pretty amazing scenario. Most people maybe listening to this would be like, I don't understand 17 seconds, 14 east. Can you educate for just a minute? Maybe some resources that you tap into to understand swell period, wind, wave direction, wind direction, what's going on. What can you educate some people on that?
Absolutely. So there's a bunch of websites out there. National Weather Data is a good one. You can use Magic Seaweed. Surfline is good. They are like getting stingy. You have to pay them a lot now to actually be able to use their tools. But basically what you're looking at is they have buoys in the water that are set at different locations. Usually you can look up whichever one is closest to you. For example, one in Wilmington is Masonboro Inlet. So there's a buoy set outside the inlet of Masonboro, and they just record data. So they float up and down in the water. And as the waves come in, they record how much they're moving up and down. They also record how often they're moving. And that's usually, so that some people call that fetch, or your wave period is another thing that people call that. But the basics of it is that what it records is the height, is how tall the wave is. So when somebody says it's 6 feet at 10 seconds, what they're talking about is that the swell coming in, the buoy is moving 6 feet up and 6 feet down. And the waves are on average 10 seconds apart. So 6 foot wave comes, 6 foot wave goes. 1, 2, 3, 10 seconds later, 6 foot wave comes, 6 foot wave goes.
Right. So you have.
Right. And so on.
You have short period wind swell. You have long period ground swell. And then you've got this medium swell that's probably generated by a storm that's a little closer, but still further out, or an intenser storm. So yeah. Thanks for sharing that. Hopefully that'll help somebody along the way too.
Totally.
So, but the longer the swell period, the more power behind that wave. And
right.
So you're getting ready to paddle out in cold and big.
Yes.
What's going on through your mind as you walk out, you park your car, you get dressed. I don't know, maybe you're already in your wetsuit driving 45 minutes, but you get to your spot and you walk out. What do you see? What's going on?
The first thing is there's like this blowing wind that offshore, hit me in the back of the head as I got out slightly offshore. It's kind of mostly offshore.
Okay.
Wind, because basically the storm came from the north, whipped around, and then now we're getting the off wind as the waves catch up. And cold wind blowing strong, and I just remember the sound that the waves were making. Like, it was just like, I mean, it was thundering. I mean, it was just like, it didn't sound like waves. I mean, it was like somebody is driving a train into the beach or something like that. I mean, it was just this like, just and there was this tense, it felt like there was this like layer hovering over everything that was just like, there was this intensity all around that you could sense and just kind of like, you could feel it. Like the hair on the back of your neck stood up, and hey, and just the anticipation. It was just like, oh my goodness, this is real. Like this is happening right now. And this is like wild.
Was it just you and your buddy, or were there other guys checking the spot too?
Oh my goodness. There was people lying in the banks. I mean, this is like 6 o'clock in the morning. And there are 25, 30 guys in the water already, and there are probably 40 people watching on the banks.
Nice.
And New Hampshire is a rocky coast, so not really sandy. I mean, they import sand on some beaches, and so there's like beach breaks. But this was, like I mentioned before, was a point break, and so everybody's standing on the rocks. No good way to get in the water. I mean, the waves are just like slamming against the rocks, and there's spray going up, and I just remember the vivid intensity of like, whoa, this is like a whole nother level of what we're doing here.
Right now, there's a saying that, you know, I hear people say, share, know your limits.
Yeah,
I mean, it's okay to push your limits. But even at that, you're taking a risk, and we all assume the risk when we paddle out. I mean, I've gotten hurt on tiny days, you know.
Yeah.
But those big days, it's next level. And so know your limits before you paddle out. You know, I don't know, what else can you share?
Totally. Well, so I guess back a little bit. So I have been surfing for several years at this point. I was 23 or 20, this was last year, so it would have been 24. And specifically going after bigger and bigger waves. So I was really, really psyched on some of the big waves that came. I lucked out and got a winter rental that was like 100 yards from the best low tide break in the entire island in Massachusetts. And so I could literally just throw my suit on, grab my board, and run down and surf like all the time. So surfing nonstop, like I had been in the water, like the first, so this is February, the first weekend in February. So this was like, but I was already on like day 34 of surfing. Like I had surfed 34 out of 40 days of the new year. Like, I mean, I was literally in the water every single day. And I listened to podcasts and a bunch of, you know, was like studying how big wave surfers, what they do and how they train. And the two biggest things, I think, when it comes to surfing bigger and bigger waves is, or I guess I'll say three. The first is your mentality. So you have to be able to be in control of your brain and ultimately your body. And if you can't control your own fear and your own panic, then you shouldn't be out there. Like if you're panicking, especially if you're panicking on the beach, That's a big warning sign that this is not a good idea, right? You're not ready for this. And the second element that's, I'll break into two things, is the physical element. And preparing the physical element can give you a lot of peace of mind and can remove that panic. So sometimes training physically is actually gonna be the thing that takes away the panic on the beach, you know, the mentality, the mindset. And the physics of it, I think, is two things. One, I think you just need to be in good shape, good paddling shape. So you need to be able to swim really far, paddle for a long time. What I was doing was basically I would go out and I would surf in big waves, or like, you know, bigger and bigger waves for longer periods of time. So I would force myself to paddle out for an extra half hour after 2 hours of surfing to train, right? And just get in the ability of like, all right, I'm exhausted, I'm going to keep going so that I'm going to build up this strength, right? So that when I do actually get in a situation where I'm physically exhausted, I've already trained my body to be able to keep going. And then the other big component of being ready to surf bigger and bigger waves is your breath holding. Mm-hmm. The bigger the wave, the farther it throws you, the deeper it pulls you, the longer you spend underwater when you don't ride the wave, which happens. And so I had been practicing my breath holding, and I was very comfortable up to about a minute and a half of active fighting. So like I could do a light jog for like a minute and a half on a single breath hold, or like a brisk walk. Like I was able to move for a full minute and a half of like actually physically moving. Mm-hmm. And then static breath holds, I was up to like 2 minutes and 45 seconds. So I could basically sit at the bottom of a pool for 2 minutes and 45 seconds, which is funny because a lot of people are really concerned about these two wave hold downs, right? It's like, oh my goodness, two waves. But the funny thing is they're like 10 seconds apart, right? So at max, you're underwater for like 35 seconds, you know, or 45 seconds. So it's not actually nearly as long as people think, but being able to, and that's also where the mindset thing comes in, of being able to calm your body down so that you can hold your breath.
Yeah.
So going into it, I was in the best physical shape I've probably ever been in. I mean, I was stoked and just like, I had been in really phenomenal paddling shape. I could surf for, you know, if it was a chest high day, I could surf for 3 hours straight easily and come out and do a second session that day. And my breath hold was good. And I had been riding this board that I had gotten really comfortable on, is my Almond. It's a 6'4" single fin with some side bites in it. Mm-hmm. And I knew my board. I knew my body, and I was like, it's on. I'm ready. I can do this.
All right. So you head on, you make your way down and you're paddling out. What do you see? What do you see in front of you? With this lineup, 20, 30 guys, whatever, they're already out there. Other people coming, people on the rocks watching. You're paddling out. What do you see in front of you?
Froth, big froth, and like big sloshy waves. It wasn't very clean. We were hoping it was going to be cleaner. When it gets that big in Boston, it rarely gets clean enough that it barrels. You're typically riding kind of a bit of a mushier wave, but they do get really big, obviously.
Yeah.
So you get going really fast. So it's really fun. It's just a little bit of a different style of riding. There was like 20, 25 guys in the lineup probably, but pretty well spread out. There's probably less than 10 guys that were actually going for waves. Mm-hmm. Everybody else like kind of got the gumption to paddle out, but was like sitting on the shoulder and the lineup. So the point break is like that. If you think of the point break like an A-frame, right? Mm-hmm. If you're looking at the letter A, that's the shape of the rocks, basically, for people who can't see my hands right now. And the lineup basically followed the shape of the rocks. So there was only a few guys at the best place to take off at the very peak of the wave, the top of the A-frame. Mm-hmm. And then most of the guys were on the shoulder way back in line. So me and my buddy looked at the lineup, and there was a lot of people at the other breaks. And so this one was definitely working the best. Everybody was riding their step up boards. It was a big, big board day, big wave day. And so we actually decided to paddle for the right which is on the, so it's the left side of the break, but the waves are moving to your right when you're surfing. So they're called a right. And so we paddle out on the left side of the point break, which there's actually no beach on that side. So you actually jump from the rocks. So it was like all this like game of like sitting on the rocks and like waiting for a big wave to come and then like trying to run and jump and hope you don't get smashed. Cause by the time they hit the rocks, but then they were like the foam balls that were coming into the rocks were like at least 6 to 8 feet tall, mm-hmm. And hitting the rocks pretty hard. So you did not want to get pushed back in the rocks. But yeah, I think my buddy was a little like, he was like kind of psyching out. He was like, all right, I'm not sure. Like, he was kind of wigging out. And I was like, dude, I'm ready. Let's freaking go. And so I grabbed my board and I strapped my leash on. And I think I waited two waves and I was like, now's my chance. And I went, and it was just like, I got it, timed it right, hit the water, paddled like nobody's business.
Right.
And because it's a point break, if you time it right, you can usually get outside the wave because the waves break at an angle. They don't break straight on the beach.
Right.
And so I was able to get to the shoulder almost immediately and freezing cold water. And all of a sudden I felt this like, I realized very, very quickly that I was in a fast moving current because I was like, I'm not paddling and I am moving like across the shore. And I'm also moving directly towards where the waves are breaking right now. Super, super fast, fast moving current.
All right.
And yeah.
No,
keep going.
Sorry. I was just,
I didn't know if you had a question. So
no, I'm just closing my eyes and picturing what's going on, the setting here. So
yeah,
heading to the break.
Yeah.
And guys are there. Some are taking off. Some are waiting. Do you get in the lineup, wait your turn, or you just say, hey guys, I'm crazy, I'm going for this one?
So there was nobody. So there was a couple of ways leading up to this wave. Nobody in the lineup is taking the rights. They're a lot smaller. They're barreling, and the current is really sketchy. So if you miss the barrel, you get hit on the head, you end up on the rocks, or you get sucked in the current out the point break, and then you get tossed over the lip by the left, which is the really big waves, the like 16, 17 footers. So I was feeling it. I was totally in the zone, ready to go. Caught two right-hand barrels. I mean, they were gorgeous. 10-foot waves, stood up, you know, not a crazy big barrel, but just tucked over my head enough where I could just kind of like, you just kind of feel the energy right next to you, you know, just like crushing on the far side of you. And you had to, you couldn't hesitate. So with this right, basically the current would pull you right into the wave. And if you stop paddling, you either had to paddle away from the wave or you had to go for a wave, because if you didn't paddle, you would get sucked into the wave and then just get tossed onto the rocks.
So it was
full commitment. Yeah. You stopped paddling. And then when it was your time to go, you just went. And, my buddy is trying to catch up with me. I've already caught two or three waves at this point, and he is not having it. He's like, dude, this is way too big. This is way too crazy. I cannot do this current. I'm not in good enough shape for this. I should not be out here right now. And I was like, well, crap. This is the most fun surf I've had in a long time. And now I have my friend out here who does not belong out here, and I have to get him back somehow.
Right.
So I start talking him down and basically reassuring him. He hasn't caught a single wave, hasn't gone for a single wave, has been paddling nonstop against the current for 20 minutes at this point to keep from getting sucked into the wave.
Right.
And so I was like, all right, we can't go in the way we came. It's not safe to land on the rocks right there. There's a beach around the point break. Let's go around. So I basically help him paddle out to sea, basically quite a ways. And we go all the way around the point break, around the outside of the lineup. And I'm kind of coaxing him back in and just trying to keep him calm and, you know, try to not make a big deal out of it. And just like, you know, it's whatever. I was glad that he at least recognized like, hey, this is not a good situation for me to be in, and it's time for me to go. So we get to the other side, we're out of the current. The lineup is right here. I'm right, you know, kind of in the head of the pack with all the other guys. couple of guys go for waves and catch them, a couple of guys go for waves and don't catch them. And I'm like, I could do this. Like, here comes a left. This is great, you know?
Yeah. Now a left for you is backside, correct?
Correct. Yeah. So I'm a regular stance surfer. Mm-hmm. So this is going heel side towards my left. And the sets were like, I mean, it was like everything disappeared. You know, they were so big that when you were paddling over them, it just was like, it felt like you were like trying to like climb uphill up a snow hill that was like chest deep in snow. You know, it was just like, right. It was so weird. There's this mountain of water just moving towards you. And, a set or two roll by and I was like, whoa, these are big, but this is awesome. I am so psyched right now. And a monster, like cleanup set, you know, I mean, biggest wave I had seen all day, sets up on the outside. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I have got to go for this wave. And so I start like trying to figure out if anybody else is going for the wave. I'm like scoping out where I need to be for setting up positions. And it's unruly. This wave is like doing really weird things, but it's huge. And I'm like, come on, I got to do this. And there's a guy, the only other guy who is maybe in a position to go for the wave, starts to go for the wave. And I was like, crap, he's going to take it, you know, cause he's farther in than me.
Right.
Gets tossed off the lip. I mean, like flying off the ledge, just could do nothing. And so I was like, my turn, here we go. Let's go. It's on. And so I started paddling and the wave like stood up, picked me up. And I just remember it was amazing how high in the air I felt. And like, I suddenly realized what I had committed to. And I was like, oh, here we go. This is going to be the best ride ever. And then all of a sudden, like nothing, I watched my board fall out from underneath my chest and disappear in the wave. And what happened was there was this second. So like there's the main wave, but there's basically a ledge that came up and from the current directly underneath me and just sucked my board from out of underneath me. And also for whatever reason, the way the physics of it worked, I was right where it was breaking. And so I'm getting lurched forward, but my board gets caught in the wave. And so it was like instantaneous free fall. I was suddenly like 5 or 6 feet up in the air over, I'm guessing a 17 foot wave, maybe 18 feet. I'm not really sure. Huge. And I'm like free falling belly first down this wave. And I'm like, oh my gosh, here we go. This is real. And so that wave, it's funny that the wave I've ridden so many wonderful waves, and actually this swell, the next day I had the best session of my life and rode like 25 of the biggest waves I have ever ridden, but none of them left an impression on me like this wave. So I had to tell you about this wave.
Yeah.
But I never rode it. It's the wave I never rode, you know?
Right.
It's the oxymoron. And yet there's so much to surf. Like a whole part of the mindset of surfing is the wave that you never ride, right? Like that's what we keep going back for, is like the wave exactly. I didn't get. And so here I am, 6 feet in the air, belly first, in front of a crowd of people, plummeting down the face of the biggest wave I have ever seen in my life.
Nice.
I land face plant on the wave, and I feel this whoosh and like my surfboard, I can feel my leash getting tugged. And then all of a sudden I realize that my leash and my surfboard are above my head behind me. So I'm like inverted on the wave, my head is down on the wave, and I am suddenly moving backwards up the wave as I'm getting sucked. And I realize I'm getting sucked over the falls. Like there was like a lip coming up, and here I am. And to give you an idea of how big the wave was, right? Like my board is going up, is already getting sucked up, and I'm getting sucked up. And I have a 6 foot board, a 6 foot leash, and I'm 6 foot tall. And I was not at the bottom of the wave. So large wave. And sucked backwards. And I was able to kind of spin just a little bit and take a breath. And I was like, because I knew what was coming.
Yes.
And then there it was. I mean, it was just like, I have never felt so much power, raw power, ever in my entire life, before or since, and get thrown over the lip, free fall all over again. And then this time I landed kind of like on my butt and my back, and the wave hit me on my chest, and it felt like literally like somebody had tied a car around my chest and was just like dropped the car, like free falling with a car tied to my body. And I just started going down, and I was like, I opened my eyes and I watched the light of the surface of the ocean get darker and darker and darker and darker and then disappear. And it was black. You couldn't see anything. And then I was like, okay, so the surface is gone. And then, but I'm still moving. Like I could still feel my body going through the water. Mm-hmm. And I can see my leg is extended by my leash attached to my surfboard is above me. And I'm still moving deeper. And I'm like, how deep am I going to go? Like it's already, the surface is already gone. I can't see anything, but I'm still moving down. And then boom, it was like a thud. And I just like sat very suddenly and completely still at the bottom. And I didn't hit the rocks hard, but I was definitely pinned against the rocks. And it was like, I sat there pinned for what felt like 10 seconds. It was probably three. Mm-hmm. But for what felt like a very long time of like still feeling the weight of like crushing my chest. And I'm kind of sitting in this hunched over position between there's like a rock behind my back and then like one under my legs. And I'm kind of crunched in between these waves, and I'm just sitting there, and then the pressure lets up at least a little bit. So like, I'm not like feeling like I'm getting crushed anymore, but I didn't move. I just was there at the bottom of the ocean alone, and it was pitch black and there was nothing. And I don't remember why, but I literally laughed in that moment. I like chuckled underwater. I was like, this is, and it was just this, like this giddy feeling for a second. And then I'm alive. Yeah. I can feel all of this. And then the intensity of the situation hit. And I was like, I am probably 20 to 30 feet underwater at least, pinned by a wave. I know a second wave is coming. Yeah. Like I saw that this was the set wave, but the wave behind it was not that much smaller than this one.
Right.
And I was like, that thing is going to break in 6.5 seconds or something like that. And I was like, I can't go anywhere. There's no point in going to the surface because I'm going to get slammed again. And so I just sat at the bottom of the ocean, and this like very, very, very strange and beautiful and intense calm just completely enveloped me. And it was perfect silence, perfect blackness. And I was just like, I had this moment, and I know that Jesus swam down to the bottom of that wave with me and was sitting right next to me. And he said in my ear, like, I'm here, right here with you. And that was all he said. And leading up to this moment, like, I mean, so all of this is happening while I'm at the bottom of the ocean. All of these, like the last like year of my life, basically, like comes flying, all of these images of my life comes flying through my head. And it was really, really hard year. I had like multiple careers fizz out because of things that were beyond my control, and things that I was trying to make happen didn't happen. And we had moved housing like three times that year, from temporary housing to temporary housing to temporary housing. And my wife Victoria had just we had a miscarriage at 12 weeks, which is really late to have a miscarriage. So I lost my first baby, would have been my third baby. I have two daughters, and that crushed me. And And then again, we had an ectopic pregnancy that ended it with an a ruptured, like an ovarian cyst that ruptured, and another miscarriage. So we had just had two miscarriages, and honestly, it had been the hardest year of my life. And I made this wild, wild, wild connection down there at the bottom of the ocean. And Jesus was like, I'm here. Like, it wasn't like I'm getting you out of this situation, you know? And he didn't say things are going to be better. He just sat there, you know, and we just sat there at the bottom of the ocean. And as far as surfing goes, that moment sucked, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, I was literally pinned down by the biggest wave I have ever seen, you know? And I'm like, who knows when I'm going to get to the top, if I'm going to get to the top, if I'm going to be able to breathe, if I'm going to pass out before that happens. Like, I don't really know.
Right.
But we just sat there, and I just really, really, I connected all of the dots, and it was just like all of those hard things. Like, I had been praying for God to end them. I had been praying that, you know, we would have a baby, that, you know, we would live somewhere, that my job situation would finally work out, like all of these things. And he never promises to work out the things in our life for us, for, you know, definitely not the way that we expect. And it was like, I'm not here to fix your problems. I'm just here. We're just here next to each other, you know? And it, like, my whole outlook on life completely changed in that moment at the bottom of the ocean. And I realized it doesn't matter what comes, like, because he's right there next to me. And so no matter what comes, like, it doesn't matter whether it's good or bad, or, you know, the best ride of my life, or I'm pinned down by an 18-foot wave at the bottom of the ocean amidst rocks, you know, like, it just, I could see everything so clearly in the pitch blackness down there. And I came up from that deeply changed, like very deeply changed. And, like 100% of my fear of waves dissipated. Like, I can't remember being afraid in the ocean after that day. It was just like, I literally, and I know there are places in the world that the ocean gets bigger and holds you down longer and kills you, you know, like, right, that's real. It happens. But in some ways it was like, I had taken the worst that could be dealt, and I was alive and I was there, and it didn't kill me and it didn't break me. And honestly, I came up for that wave so stoked to catch another wave. Like, I was on fire. I was so ready. And like I said, the next day it was same size, a little bit cleaner. I must have surfed 25, 15 foot waves. Just unbelievable. Yeah. But the wave that I did not catch was hands down the most impactful of them all.
That is a great story. Man, Gray, I appreciate you sharing that. I really don't know how to wrap that up. You know, I mean, you said it so well, and I think that speaks to a lot of us. Life can deal some heavy blows. Loss of kids, you know, babies, that's tough. Jobs, finances, everything. But to know the promise that Jesus says, I will be with you always, even to the end of the world. That's comforting. And to be in that situation and have that lesson learned and that pivotal point in your life where, okay, Jesus, thanks for being there. Not just here, the bottom of the ocean.
The bottom of the ocean, man.
Everywhere you go. That's an awesome, awesome story. Man, there's so much in that and so much more that that we could talk about. Maybe we'll have you back on, you know, to share
Love
some
to.
More and another time. But I appreciate you sharing that with us. And I really believe it's going to speak to a lot of people, not just the surfing and preparation, but the life story. And that's what we want. Your wave,
awesome, man.
Your story, your life. You know, Gray, we miss you around Wrightsville Beach. That's for sure. I was thinking the other day, anticipating our conversation here. I can't remember. I think it was a Sunday, right before or right after Surf Church. It was pretty big. It was fun. And you turned to turn on the wave, and a couple of the younger surfers, there's a couple girls out there, and we were like, "Greg, go, go, go." And you turned and went. And the next thing I knew, I saw you swimming for your board. Your board was at the beach, and your leash had broke. We're like, all of us were like, "Oh, we called him."
Called me to a closeout.
But anyway, man.
Good times, man.
Yes, yes. Hopefully, have some more in the future. And
You've always got
places to stay. You got places to stay down here. You got tons of friends down here. So come on, keep an eye on the swell. And hopefully it'll work where you can make your way down this way. We're going to close with this thought. Hey, Gray, did you know that surfing is in the Bible?
I didn't, but yes. I believe you.
It's not Jesus walking on water.
That's actually not what I was thinking about.
No, it's in Acts chapter 27, verse 44. Paul was in that shipwreck, and it says, everybody made it to shore safely. Some on pieces of the ship, and some on boards. I don't know about you.
There you go. Sounds like surfing to me.
It sounds like surfing to me. Brother, thank you so much for being on my wave podcast, and we'll have you back out again, and take care, bro.
Yo, thanks for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Yes, sir.